Good morning. National director for those of you that are in healing rooms. I think it's amazing how 7 or 8 plus years ago, give or take, we met Julie for the very first time at some mutual friend's home in Sydney. And sitting there at their brekkie table the next morning at tea time, I looked at Julie and the Lord spoke to me and says, "That's a woman. Tell that woman that I'm raising her up to be a mother of a nation." And I said, "Well, Lord, you tell her, because I don't know if she's going to, if she's even interested in that. And I don't know if that'll mean anything to her or not." Anyway, God kept telling me to tell her, so I told her. And at that time, I don't know if maybe there was one, two, maybe, healing rooms in New Zealand. Fast forward 5 years ago, Dee Dee and I came to your precious country for the first time, and we arrived right either on or the day before Anzac Day. And we did our first conference here for their healing rooms. And 5 years later, now, Dee Dee and I arrived the day before Anzac Day, and there are 50-plus healing room centers throughout New Zealand. And God's using Julie amazingly all around this nation. And I think it's great just for how God's using her, but I think it's also phenomenal because, to me, it's a real, true life witness to what God desires to do with women in the kingdom of God right now. Okay? And seriously, women in the body of Christ need to come forward. This is a word for all of you. There's more for you to do besides teas and biscuits and serving people in the church at dinners and so forth and so on. And you're good for more. Not that this is not significant. It is. But you're good for more than intercessory prayer. You know, let's put women off somewhere and give them something to do to keep them happy and all of that. And God's just blowing that right out of the duck pond. And someone told me not long ago, "Well, this is the year of women in ministry." I said, "You know what? I think it's always been women in ministry. It's just that men are finally catching up and realizing that, some of us." So anyway, it's amazing how God's using her. And I say this respectfully, but if God can use Julie Calvert, if God can use Jim White, you're in. You don't have a problem. Seriously. I was reading in my Bible this morning where it's found in 1 Peter, that's in the New Testament, chapter 2. I think. First Peter chapter 2, verse 9. "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood." Somebody shout out "chosen generation."
Generation.
Shout out "royal priesthood."
Royal priesthood.
"A holy nation."
A holy nation.
"A peculiar people. That we may proclaim the praises of Jesus, who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light." I love that scripture. I'm serious. If you're into tattoos, then you need to get that one tattooed. It should say, "I am a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that I may proclaim the praises of he who called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. I was once not a people, but now I'm the people of God, who at one time had no mercy, but now I have obtained mercy." You gotta love Jesus, because he already, when you weren't watching, went ahead in advance on credit and put you in right standing with Papa God. You're as holy right now as you're ever going to be. I don't care how often you go to church, how many times you read your Bible through in a year, how many days you fast and pray. I don't care if you can speak in tongues while standing on your head and all of that. You will not be any holier than you are right now. And you will not be any more righteous than you are right now. So when I really got a revelation of that, I decided to chill out and relax from all my religious performance, trying to obtain something I've already gotten. I ceased from praying prayers that were already answered. I stopped trying real hard to get stuff that's already been handed over to me. And I have to admit, it's a wonderful life to just rest, relax, enjoying the trip, smelling the flowers, having joy unspeakable, full of God's glory. And you can have every bit of that right in the midst of all hell coming against you. When you get the revelation that you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. I want to talk to you today about something that's very, very dear to my heart. And I hope this will help you. And I try to remember this every single day. But it's been a long time ago that God started really just hammering away at me, if you will, about my identity. Because my identity was just all garbled and knotted, twisted, and messed up. I was going through life not truly really knowing who I was and where I really came from. Don't get me wrong, I wasn't being like a Bruce Jenner. I mean, I'm a man, and I believe God intended for me to be one. And I'm not, you know, I knew all of that. I'm not being comical, I'm just telling you. I don't mean it in that sense. But I mean, there's got to be at least one more other person in this room today who's often wondered, you know, why am I really here? Where did I really come from? Who am I really? Maybe it's me. Maybe I got a bad set of wiring. I don't know. But I just know there was a day, one day in my life, where the thought came to me, you know, I know my birthday is February 10th, 1960, but why do I not believe that was the beginning of my life? And I started asking questions. I started going to other colleagues and peers in the ministry, was going to friends and family members, sharing with them my feelings, and they all looked at me like half of you are doing right now. And you would be amazed how many people in this room are suffering from an identity crisis. We dress it up, we cologne it up, we perfume it up, we make it up, we dress it up, we sparkle, we shine, we put on our frontery. We all walk around with a lot of us having unanswered questions. I hope today, Holy Spirit, will help me to help those of you who might be there. Because for a surety, I've got to tell you, your life did not begin on your birthday. So from this moment on, stare at me, from this moment on, I will not be talking to your brain. I'm serious in that. I am going to be speaking to your spirit. Why is that? Go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. The reason I'm not speaking to your brain and I'm going to be speaking directly to your spirit is right here. But as it is written, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit, Holy Spirit, searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God. No one knows. No one knows, no one understands, no one can comprehend the things of God except Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is not a spiritual fog. He's a real person. He's the third person of the Trinity. And he's been here. He was the first one here, and he's been greeting you the whole time you've been here. Okay? So, I realize this may not be for, well, it is for everybody, but everybody may not be for this. So, here we go. Now, let me go back to that. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of God. Now we have received, not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have freely been given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words, which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. Oh, I could camp out right there. The natural man does not receive the things of God. And I fully comprehend and understand that I am living and breathing and existing in a spiritual season right now, where many people going to churches all around the world on Sunday morning are not necessarily looking for divine revelation fresh out of the throne room of God. They're looking for a watered-down version of the gospel of Christ that will make them feel better about their misery. And I've not come to New Zealand to stroke anybody's ego. I haven't come as a cocky American. I have not come as a know-it-all. I've come to you as a co-laborer in Christ, as a member of the family. We, like it or not, we are all related. And if you're going to heaven, you're going to see me every day. And I you. And I'm okay with that. Listen. We can't afford to keep giving people a method to their madness. When we carry within us the answers that humankind is desperately seeking for and looking for. This morning at the hotel in the restaurant during brekkie, said a man / woman. He's half man, half woman. He's a man dressed as a woman. He's confused. Right there is a real good example of someone having an identity crisis. And instead of judging people, we ought to have mercy and compassion on people because they don't know that they don't know. Why? Because the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. The woman who was up here a moment ago during communion, who had a blowout over here, well, that doesn't disturb me at all. That doesn't bother me at all. But the natural mindset, the natural man, man's humanness, man's intellect, man's brain, man's way of perceiving and understanding cannot grasp that. But what was going on there with that woman just a moment ago was something so pure, so divine, so holy, because she was directly connecting with Father God and He was downloading right into her spirit man. And you were touched by God simply by being allowed to see it. God let you see that, hoping it would whet your spiritual appetite so that you could bypass your brain and pull up your spirit man, so your spirit man could alert you to the fact you need the same thing she's got. And if you'll let me, I will help you contact and connect with the same holy God she's connected with, and you can have the same thing she's enjoying. Woo! Ha ha! May all of New Zealand be filled with Christians who are truly born again, spirit-filled men and women of God who are walking in the Spirit of God, living in the spirit realm of God, conducting kingdom business. Woo! Your brain won't let you get this, but your spirit man will. Your spirit man today wants you to know and understand that you've been created by God to see and hear in two worlds at the same time. No, that's not bipolar. That is called walking and living in the Spirit. Just because you cannot see it in the natural doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It may mean you need an eye exam. And when you go to God and say, please correct my vision, He restores to you spiritual vision, and you can see it in the Spirit. If you can see it in the Spirit, just because you can't see it in the natural doesn't mean it's not there. It means you need to take another look. And if you take another look and you can see it in the Spirit, you are already anointed and empowered by God to pull out of the spirit realm what you see with your spirit eye and have it manifest in the natural. And when you do that, you are an official broker of the heavenly realm. And that's what we need right now. We need people who no longer give a flip what everybody thinks about them. We need a people who are completely, totally delivered from the fear of man. Fearful of what your fellow man might think. Hey, well, I don't want no one to talk about me. They're talking about you anyway. So give them something juicy to talk about. I look at it like this. People are running their mouth about me anyway, so I might as well give them something worthwhile to talk about. I would rather be talked about being a fool for Jesus Christ But the natural man does not know or does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. I admit, there sits the blind man. Here comes Jesus Christ. Spits in the dirt, makes some homemade Play-Doh, gets it on his fingers, smears it on his eyes. Bam! His sight's restored. The only people who had a problem with Jesus' spit was those who were already able to see. The only one who didn't have a problem with Jesus' spit was the blind man who walked, got up, and went home able to see. The only people who had an issue with Jesus telling his disciples to go to the lake, get some fish, open up their mouth, and get their tax money were those who already filed their income tax reports and didn't need any. And what I mean is simply, who cares? The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. My heart really does go out to pastors all across this globe. Because if a pastor is worth his or her salt, then they're the real deal. If they're the real deal, they're trying to present spiritual truths to a flock of people, half who are spiritual, half who are carnal. All are born again, but half realize that all they've gotten was their ticket out of hell. The other ones realize not only did they get their ticket out of hell, but they got an okay from God to start living out of the kingdom of God right here, right now, and start enjoying the God life. Woo! But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Woo! Paul says, brethren, I come to you not with the excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Paul says it like this: I had to determine not to know anything but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And when I came to you not preaching with enticing words of man's intellectual wisdom, but I chose rather to demonstrate the power of the living God, so that your faith would not be in what I know, but in who I know. And I know that feeling. Go with me, folks. Let's go back to 2005. It's February. Jim and Dee Dee are with a team of 10 other people, and the plane has landed in Liberia, West Africa. It's 2 years after a 14-year civil war. There is no government in the nation. The only form of government, law, order, is that which the United Nations, and we all know they're corrupt, has set up and established. There is no infrastructure. There's no electricity. There's no drinkable water. Every family in Liberia has lost at least one loved one to a machete by a rebel soldier. Word on the street was at least one to two females in each household had been gang raped by rebel soldiers, and the nation is a mess and its people are broken. And there's our team, and we're there to train 120 leaders in healing rooms ministries to establish them up. We were also semi-working, if you will, with a ministry called Mercy Ships, which were docking there shortly after we left to provide some sort of a hospital and a medical clinic. But the last two nights that we were there, we did open-air crusade services out in this open field. And it's the last night, and we're out in the open field, and it's... there's probably, they said it was close to 10,000 people that had walked all day long in the hot African sun and had been standing there until the meeting started. I'm preaching everything I know from Genesis to Revelations, and it only took me 10 minutes. And no one's showing nothing. They're all busted. They're all broken. I mean, these people have real problems, not like the stupid stuff you read on Facebook. Going to bed, it's been a long day, it's been a hard day, my cat puked on my brand new carpet. Going to bed, I made a cake, it didn't turn out right. It's the stupid stuff people post on Facebook about their boring lives. These people in Liberia had real difficulties. They had real problems. And it's the last night, and I'm standing up there, and I'm giving everything I've got. No one's showing anything. And come on, let's be honest. We've all been prepped and trained and brainwashed to gauge our effectiveness by facial expressions. And in my case, I was bombing badly. Because they're all standing there like, that weren't bad enough. Way out on the main road comes the United Nations motorcade. And they're escorting the interim vice president. My host pastor that lived there, Daniel, he comes up to me. I'm up there preaching, and he says, stop your speaking. He says, the UN is bringing the vice president. I said, okay. I stop. The United Nations motorcade drives right up along the side of the thousands of people, and out of the front limousine comes this Goliath man. He looked like 15 feet tall, and like he weighed 700 pounds. And he walks up on that rickety old stage. He takes my microphone out of my hand. He slams his hand on the pulpit. And he says out loud, I've come to see a demonstration of the power of your God. And takes the seat and sits right behind me. Now back in the States, you can fake one. And they'll fall for it. Back in the States, all it would have taken was to put some glitter on my clothes before I went out on the stage. See, we get moved by feathers, gold dust, manna appearing in a Bible. That was very powerful with me until I caught them putting crackers in it behind the steam one night. I'll leave it there. Man, it doesn't take much, does it, to wow us. But it took a whole lot to wow those people. Because those people's lives were in such ruin and disrepair. They were so busted and broken that the goal was to have a swift death and hopefully an early one so they could be out of their misery. And I'm sorry, all these things that we get really excited and pumped up about was not going to move that 10,000 Liberians. And I was so intimidated by the need. I went over to the side and I got Dee Dee by the arm, and we went over to the edge of the platform. And I did. I looked at her and I says, I am so sorry that I've got us in this mess. I said, I know when I proposed to you and asked you if you'd marry me that we would go all over the world, but I did not mean this. And they want to see a miracle. Well, the truth is, yeah, I would love to too. I says, oh God. I said, I just want the rapture to take place. So I stood on the stage and I did like Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz. I clicked my heels and I went, there's no place like home. But in this case, I said, rapture, rapture, rapture. And I'm like, oh God, please, or just let me drop dead. Get me out of this fix. Get me out of this mess. Nothing's happening. So I finally stretched my hands towards heaven. Dee Dee did as well. And we prayed the most simple, childlike prayer. I reminded God. I says, God, you're no respecter of persons. You did it for other people of old. I'm asking you to do it here. Because I have no clue what they'll do if you don't. And something in me shifted in that prayer. Because then all I cared about was no longer about myself, but I cared about God. I thought, God, this is going to look really bad on you if you don't show your power to these people. You know, they can think what they want about me, but I don't want them thinking you're a weak, non-caring God. So I call on the lightnings of heaven, come and flash into this place and do only that which you can do. And that was my prayer. And we stood there, which felt like an eternity. But a few moments later, the most iceberg air wind began to blow. And that was awesome in Africa. It was so awesome. I thought, if you don't do anything else, I haven't felt cool for a week. I'm like, this is good. And you could see women's hair flying in the wind. And suddenly, way out into the far, far right, all of a sudden you could hear in the dark night air, I can see! I can see! And then you could hear way out on the left, I can see! 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 I told Daniel, send out our security people and find out what's going on. Moments later, they come up and Daniel says, it would appear everyone here that came blind is able to see. No prayer line, nobody laying hands on anyone, no imported designer anointing oil from Jerusalem. And then the Lord said to me, I have to sit. Then the Lord said to me, watch this. And suddenly the same thing happened, but it was with deaf ears. And then you could hear the most grossest sounds and evil noises. And demons were coming out of people effortlessly. And an old man at the very end of the front line to my left stood there all night with a twisted, gnarled arm. And God said, bring the man with the gnarled arm on the stage, put him in front of the vice president, but don't touch him. And I did. And then the Lord says, now speak to his arm and tell it what to do. I did. And I just said, I speak to that twisted, gnarled arm to straighten up and become normal like God created it to be. And that was it. Nothing happened. Suddenly, boom! And I'm standing there like, I'm trying to not look surprised. You know, like I see this every day in my ministry. Yeah, back in our healing rooms, we see this every hour on the hour. And a Nigerian UN soldier with his M16 automatic rifle draped over his lovely shoulder leans into the vice president's right ear, and I heard him say, it would appear the white missionary's God truly is God. I looked up to Jesus and I said, I owe you big time. I owe you big time, Lord. When you became born again, I'm going to demonstrate something and I want to help you. I might have demonstrated this when I was here last. I'm not sure if I did. If I did, you can see it again. But I need some volunteers. Would you three people come here and help me? Yeah. Just stand right here, side by side. You can stand there. You can come over here. Over here. Yeah, you lovelies over here. And right here. Okay, get back behind him there, right beside him. All right, now face the folks. All right. This is the Godhead. We've got God the Father. We've got God the Son, Jesus. We've got Holy Spirit. Okay? Could you three help me? Could you back down just a little? There you go. There you go. That's good. Now you three lock arms. All right. Stand right here, side by side. All right. What's your name?
Helen.
Okay. We have here Helen. Listen, I'm trying to simplify a really, really awesome principle in the Word of God. This represents Helen. Everybody, irregardless of who you are, what you're into, it doesn't matter. Everyone is composed of three components. We have a body, a soul, and a spirit. This is Helen's body. Listen. Work with me, Helen. This is Helen's body. Now, before your conversion, before you became born again, let's just say, if you weighed 150 pounds, after you gave your heart and life over to Jesus Christ, you still weighed 150 pounds. If you have beautiful brown hair, you probably still have beautiful brown hair. What I'm trying to point out to you is, when you become a born-again believer, stare at me, nothing happens to your body. Your body does not get born again. Your body is not saved. Your responsibility is to steward this temple until the day it dies. When you go back home to heaven, you will get a new one. You will get a glorified body. Okay? So, this doesn't get born again. Here we have Helen's soul. This is touchy here because this is the mind, the will, your thoughts, your emotions, your intellect, your memories, your imagination. This is the soul. Before you got saved, this was your soul, and whatever junk is in it, it's still there after you become born again. It's your responsibility to renew this to the mind of Christ. The Bible tells us plainly to be renewed in the spirit of our mind, to renew our mind back to the mind of Christ. Look at me. A little school here. Renew is a very, very important word. The prefix re literally means to return or go back to. So when it says to renew, it means or to, like when somebody restores an old antique car, they're restoring or taking that antique car back to its original order and condition. When you're restoring anything, you're putting it back in its original form. When you renew something, you're putting it back to its original new condition. Repent means, pent of the word repent is literally taken from our English vernacular where we get our root word for pent house, which means the top level. Repent has nothing at all to do with anything else but this. Repent means go back to the place where God dwells and gain His perspective on your reality. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. If it's at hand, it's within your reach. If it's within your reach, it's within your grasp. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent means the renewing of one's mind, back to the mind of Christ. Go back in the spiritual realm of things and gain God's perspective, or better yet, learn how to see yourself from where God sees you. We've got the body, we've got Helen's soul, and here's Helen's spirit. Before your conversion, come over here, your spirit's out of the picture. It's dead. Compliment of our beloved Adam and Eve. Jesus came to restore everything back to its original order, including you and I. The reason why we must be born again is this becomes awakened and activated, lock arms, and now you're born again, your spirit's alive, and now it's connected to Holy Spirit. Stay up. This is called your network. This is God's design for every one of you in this building today. Holy Spirit loves revealing Jesus to Helen. But He won't appeal to Helen's soul. If you've got your soul renewed, then it's subservient to your born-again activated spirit. So now, Holy Spirit, God says, tell Helen that I have great plans for her. Say that to Jesus.
I have great plans for you.
Jesus, say, Holy Spirit, tell Helen that the Father has great plans for her.
Holy Spirit, tell Helen that the Holy that Jesus and the Father have great plans for you.
Holy Spirit says it to Helen's spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Just say, Helen, the Father has great plans for you.
The Father has great plans for you.
Helen's spirit receives it because Helen's spirit hears it. Because Helen's spirit is connected to the Godhead. You want to walk in the Spirit? This is what it looks like. You want to live in the Spirit? This is what it looks like. What does not walking in the Spirit, not living in the Spirit, look like? It looks like this. You two trade places. Are you born again? Yes. But there's something not right. You're not connected to the Godhead. So you're now depending on your soul to give you everything you need. Your soul, if it's not connected to the Godhead, at best, all it can do is imagine what God is saying and download it. You getting it? God wants this to switch. The season we're in right now, you cannot afford to be any different than this. All of New Zealand is looking for this. Nature is moaning and groaning. We're having earthquakes, volcanic eruptions, hurricanes, tornadoes, cyclones, typhoons, all kinds of natural disasters. Because earth itself, nature itself, is moaning and groaning for the manifest sons and daughters of this to come out of their caves, come out of their graves, come out of their church houses and be revealed and step into the marvelous light and demonstrate the power of your living God. This is the answer to ISIS. This is the response to everything evil that's facing us, that we're facing right now in our world. This is the answer. A born-again, spirit-filled believer that is connected to the source itself, God Almighty, that no matter what time of day or night it is, when God speaks, you hear Him. Jesus said, I speak and my sheep know and hear my voice. This is natural. It cannot perceive this. It needs this to reveal that to it. Woo! Thank you. I've got something I want to read you. God gave me this a year ago on an airplane. Dee Dee and I were flying home from Santa Barbara back home to Spokane, and I was sitting there looking out the window on the airplane, and the Lord spoke to me very clearly, and He says, Jim, do you want to know the most talked about subject in heaven right now? I said, now what, Lord? He said, do you want to know the most talked about subject in heaven right now? I said, what is it? He said, it's the invasion of earth. God told me, He says, right now I have legions of angels that I'm training. They're being trained on how to empty and plunder all of my warehouses that are filled with body parts and body organs. And they're being trained on how to be dispatched to earth. And I said, well, now what do you mean? All you have to do is just send them. He says, no. These angels are being learned how to hear and respond to the voices of my manifest sons and daughters who are coming out of the mothballs and who are assuming their rightful positions as a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. Woo. The Lord gave me this, and I give it to you. A newly made people colliding with and striking forcefully the kingdom of darkness. These are those who've chosen effectiveness over popularity. These are the manifest sons and daughters of God, and the time for their great reveal is now. This remnant has been hidden in Christ. They love not their own life, and they have no fear of death. These are those who carry the presence of Jesus and release His glory throughout the world. A trail of unending exploits, from the opening of blind eyes to the raising the dead, from the emptying of cancer wards to the infiltration of cultures, lie in their path. If you're not afraid of them, you should be. This brand of religious misfits are playing no games. They're intent on fulfilling their destinies and completing their assignments. They've died to themselves and have taken their identity in Jesus. It's in Christ they live, move, and have their being. Whether many stand alongside them or they find themselves standing alone, either way, their resolve is solid. They won't be shaken, nor will they be moved. Their feet are firmly planted, and their roots run deep into the living Word. This is the company of believers that that great cloud of witnesses gathers to watch and cheer jubilantly as they take their positions and unite under the Almighty's banner of love. They have fire in their eyes, lightning in their fingers, thunder in their voice. They are clothed in garments of light which release a celestial glow that pierces the deepest darkness, making it appear as the noonday sun. God has strategically positioned them throughout the world, and that the sound of His voice will be deployed for action partnering with legions of heaven's angels for the greatest invasion of heaven on earth. And it will coincide with the world's darkest of days. Woo! Come on! Somebody give the Lord praise! Woo! Whew. I know I'm from America. Me and Dee Dee are Americans, but I've got to tell you, it was probably 2 years ago, the Lord showed me one afternoon, I saw the hands of God come out of heaven, and it picked up these two little islands, and the name New Zealand was across those two islands. And I saw the hands of God lift up your blessed nation. And he picked them up and he went like this. And then he lifted it higher and he went like this. And he kissed New Zealand and he breathed on it. And the Lord spoke to my heart and he says, for many, 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 many decades, the intercession of my prayers, the intercession of my children have come up before me as a sweet-smelling savor for New Zealand. God says, I pick who I pick, I call who I call, I choose who I choose. And I pick, I call, and I choose this New Zealand to be the birthplace of a mighty move of my spirit in the darkest of days. I'm telling you, sincerely, your nation, whoa, and the Lord told me, there will be no way of escaping the move of Holy Spirit in this nation. I keep seeing jets loaded with passengers flying all around the globe to come to New Zealand to encounter and experience Almighty God. So you think what you want. Whoa. But I know what I see and I know what I hear. And God promised me that he would let me see it. And the Lord, whoa, the Lord told me. He said, I'm going to tell you something. The precursor to this move of God is coming on the wings of anointed praise and worship. The atmosphere of New Zealand is pregnant with praise and worship. Well, I say this with all the love, honor, and respect I can possibly drum up, muster up. But Hillsong had its turn. God is releasing an anointed sound. It's a sound. There's a New Zealand sound in the spirit. It's unlike any other sound. It's a tune like no other tune. The lyrics are like no other. I can't explain. I wish I had the right wording, but I don't have the right wording to express what it is I see and hear in the spirit. But I'm telling you, there's no escaping the move of God's Holy Spirit that's now coming. I totally believe God has been using and will continue to use the ministry of healing rooms to help escort, usher in this mighty move. Healing rooms, we do not have a monopoly on healing. It's a given. We're not an exclusive entity unto ourselves. We get it. And we're not the only ministry that God is breathing on and raising up to bring healing to many, many, many people. I believe this move of God that's en route to your nation is also going to be the poster child to the rest of the body of Christ, what real unity among the brethren looks like. Whew. There's going to be none of this, well, my ministry's, it's just, you know, I just feel it's misunderstood and it's overlooked and people don't really have the appreciation for it like I do, and you know, we're just biding our time and yada, yada, yada. You know what? Start right now and resign as president of your own fan club. Get over being a legend in your own mind. Listen, if God's called you to do anything, do it with every fiber of your being. Stop comparing yourself. Stop comparing your anointing. Stop wanting to be better than someone else. Stop wanting to sound better than someone else. Get healed of all of that stupid stuff. Because all ministry, be it praise, be it worship, be it intercession, be it teaching, preaching, whatever, it all, I don't care if you're an apostle, good God, in America, there's an apostle on every street corner. You know, and 90% of them are self-acclaimed, self-appointed. You know, it's whether you're an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, pastor, teacher, you know what? We're all called to do the same thing, but different ways. And that is to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. There's a lot of shifting that's going to take place in the next 12 months. There are people here right now that will not be here 12 months from now. Some will be in heaven. Others will be relocated and shifted to another geography or another part of this country. The bulk of you will be here. But your life will not be the same 12 months from now. There's a lot of shifting taking place. And be careful what you pray for. One of the biggest things that I see coming in this move of God, and this is the stuff that drives my boss up a wall. Because in the healing rooms, I openly admit, we try, well, I don't, but many try because they believe they can keep deliverance and healing separated. It's impossible. If you want to be a spiritual ostrich and keep your head in the sand, do it. I'm not ignoring the reality of the demonic. By the same token, I won't give them any undue credit or any undue place. I don't go around seeing a demon and a devil behind every tree and under every rock. Just every other one. But we're going to learn how to deliver those who are bound by the demonic. And we're going to know how to deliver them and set them free effortlessly. Because God is throwing out all of our formulas, all of our rituals, all of our models, all of the programs, and he's saying, why don't we try it this way? Why don't you get so close into me that my Holy Spirit has nowhere else in you to dwell but your shadow? The days of shadow healing are back. I believe the days of shadow deliverance is back. I saw that, Pastor. I saw that. When Dee Dee and I went to Liberia, she and I, when we arrived there with our team, all of these Liberians were in line behind the roped section, and we were just walking down the rope, you know, shaking their hands and hugging their necks, thanking them all for coming out to the meeting that night. And we keep walking down the line, and we're loving on everyone. And as we're, I would look at this, what is that sound? And we kept walking and walking, and we took a look, one after another. It's silly, but you saw it. projectile, vomiting. Demon after demon after demon after demon after demon is coming out. Nobody prayed for nobody. Woo! That's what's coming. That's what's coming. So it's not about having a conference. I'm going to shut up with this. It's not about having a conference with 12 steps on how to do anything. There's one step. Move as close into Holy Spirit as you can get. Why? Because what goes in must come out. Holy Ghost in, Holy Ghost out. Well, Jim, it's not that simple. Yes, it is that simple. Yes, it is that simple. I told you in the beginning, I wasn't speaking to your intellect. I'm speaking to your spirit. Now, your brain's starting to come back up. I can see it. Your spirit can grasp this. For those of you that are room today and you feel like you've been victimized because your focus is always on the abuse that you've taken. Some of you are here today and you're in real desperate situations. I get that. I understand that. I'm sensitive to that. I truly am. It's not always easy. It's not always easy just to take the babies and get out of the house. When you're being threatened to be beaten or killed if you leave someone that's abusing you, sometimes the fear can be so strong. I remember when my mom became a born-again believer, she went to a rummage sale one day and she found a book written by one of the weirdest women that ever lived, named Catherine Coleman. And the book was entitled, I Believe in Miracles. And Mama read it, and worse yet, believed it. Knelt by her bedside and surrendered Carol White completely over to Jesus Christ. Daddy did not. Mama soon began to take us kids to church. One particular Sunday morning, every weekend, Daddy would come home drunk. I was blessed. I never did see my dad beat my mother. And it's not that he did it behind our backs. He just didn't do it. But he would still be drunk. Things in the house would be broken. One Sunday morning, my mom got us kids up for bed, out of bed, and she says, okay, we're going to Sunday school today, and you kids get ready. My dad was drunk. He was sitting in the kitchen, at the kitchen table, and he had his shotgun. And he had it laying right on the table, and he told my mother, he says, if you're going to go to that church, you go. But my kids are not going. He says, you go, but you leave the kids here. I don't want them going to that church. I don't want to get into all in all of that. None of it's real. My mom would look at us. She said, you kids get ready. Do what I told you. And, you know, mouthy me, I would stand there and go, and I was six. I would go, well, if we go, though, Daddy's going to kill you. My mom says, he's going to do nothing of the sort. Get ready. Well, we got ready, and we came out in the kitchen, and she said, okay, go get in the car. And my dad says, Carol, you take those kids to church. When you get back home, I will kill you. And he was drunk enough to do that. And as a six-year-old little boy, I'm standing there as they're exchanging words. And my mother looks at us and says, okay, go get in the car. We got in the car and off to church we went during that morning. And this happened to be a little bit of what we would call an uptown church, where it was very formal. But it was the only Pentecostal Protestant type church my mom was aware of in that area of the city. So we're there, and after Sunday school, all of us kids came back out in the big room with the parents, and we're standing there, and the pastor was asking people for what they called prayer requests. And I remember standing up and saying, I've got one. I want everybody to pray for my mama because my daddy is as mad as hell. He's at home with the shotgun and he's going to kill mama when we get home because he's mad she took us to church here today. Well, I thought my mom would die sitting there. She's trying to reach over my sister and other sister to get a hold of me. Well, we go home. There sits my dad. And there's another empty bottle. And he stands up. He's burping. He's belching. And he's got the gun loaded. And he said, Carol, I wasn't joking. And I remember my mother walked right up to him. She was just like she turned into another person almost. And it was her facial expressions I couldn't get past. And she walks right up to him and she gets her fingers and she shoves them down the barrel of that shotgun. And with an authority like I've never witnessed, she says, no weapon formed against me will prosper. You're as good as coming to God as you've ever been. Within a week, my dad gave his heart to Jesus Christ. Sometimes getting out of situations that isn't easy, and I understand that's an extreme example, but I want to encourage every one of you here today, greater is he that's in you than he that's in this world. Whatever your struggle, whatever your dilemma, whatever the situation, doesn't matter. It truly does not matter. Jesus is the answer. Hold your hands out. Ooh. Ooh. Holy Spirit, would you do today that which only you can do? Would you release a fresh flame of fire on every head? Would everyone that was on this worship team come back up here and as quickly as you can and give me some throne room music? Something serene, something very intimate. Whoa! Wow. Father, release fresh flames of fire on every head here. Lord, I'm asking you to just ruin and wreck every individual here. Ruin them from the ordinary. Take us to a place in you that we've yet been. Rivers, rivers, no, oceans, oceans, no, tsunamis, tsunamis of living water, tsunamis of the Holy Ghost kind, rushing, gushing from the throne of God, coming your way. If I were you, I'd stand right in the middle of that wave and say, here I am, Holy Ghost. I'm yours for the taking. I'm yours for the capturing. I'm yours for the picking up. And let's ride away. Here's what I hear the Lord right now telling me he wants to do. So I've never done this before ever in my life in a meeting. But I'm going to do this. I want everyone to stand on your feet. Woo! Sitting at the feet of Jesus a lot more often. and writing new songs.
Wow.
New songs. The songs that are coming out of you have not been written. They're new songs. You're a psalmist. You're a psalmist.
Yes, Lord.
Woo, you're a psalmist.
Thank you, Lord.
I just speak to those psalms, those lyrics, those new sounds, that new music. Come rushing, gushing right out of your innermost being in the name of Jesus. Wow. But here's what we're going to do. Everybody needs victory in one area of your life or another. Everyone's got at least one situation you need God to miraculously do something in. All right? Picture what that is. I tell you what that is in my for me right now. I'm going to picture my son and my daughter and their spouses coming to Jesus and receiving a revelation of Him that's forever going to just radically revolutionize their lives. I don't want them having a mom and dad's experience. I want them having their own. So I'm going to praise God for the prodigals in my family. They're serving the Lord, but they're not walking in the Spirit. So that's my deal. Get your deal ready. And God wants you, when I say go, to release a roar over that situation. Well, now I'm not into that. Well, then you don't want God to intervene in this. Get beside yourself. I don't care if you sound like a house cat. Don't worry about your roar. Don't worry about the other person's roar next to you. Every roar is going to be different. Every roar is going to sound different. Let's get over the fear of the roar. So Father, right now, set everybody free from the fear of the roar. Set everybody free from what the fear of what everyone else in the room is going to think. Woo! Woo! One, two, three, roar. Come on, let it go. Okay. Now we're going to do it again. I forgot to tell you, we're going to do this three times. I want you to get the next thing. Something is happening here today. My next thing is, and this could possibly be many others, my next thing is finances. I want more than enough. Yes. I want more than enough. I want more than enough for me and Dee Dee to go to every nation, especially those Muslim nations that keep pestering us to come. And so far I've said no. I want the finances for everything that God's told me to do. And I do trust Him for that. But I want more than enough. Why? Because I want to take the surplus and I want to invest it in other areas of kingdom work that God, as God directs me to. I love to bless people. Ah! Ha! Woo! One. Two. Are you guys roaring? Three. Go! Roar! If you could see what I'm seeing, if I were the enemy, I would get out of your way. Third and final. Mine is, I want to transition from needing a new liver and a new spine to walking in divine health. I want to experience the benefits and the joy of never ever needing physical healing in my body again. Now, you might on this one want to partner with two or three others. I'll give you a moment to do that if you want. Because there's power in numbers. You might want to link arms and partner with other people. Not with roaring over what they're roaring over, but just linking up the roar. Woo! As God leads you. If He doesn't lead you to do it, don't worry about it. Woo. One. Two. Three. Roar. From the top of her head all the way down to the soles of her feet. And I bless you, my friend, with this. I saw during worship the Lord put a treasure chest in front of you. I've seen this once since I've been here over someone else. You don't have to open it. It's already opened and it's overpowered. It's just stockpiled and overflowing with every kind of a precious gem and stone. I see gold bars, bars of solid gold. I see diamonds so valuable. I see riches untold. And I hear the Lord saying over you, you'll never escape the outpouring of my favor and of my blessings. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Your vision is so small. The Lord says, you thought you had a big vision. I hear God saying, and I am so serious in this, ask of me to do the impossible. Ask of me to do the difficult. Ask of me to do the hard things. Ask. Ask. There's a degree of the favor of God on you. It's on you. It's on your church. It's on your husband. It's on these precious ones. Make your vision bigger. Don't be alarmed when the Holy Spirit starts pulling up stakes and enlarging the tent. Enlarging the vision. Well, we've never done that before. Yeah, well, you know what? It's a new day. God's going to add to the number of those who've got your back. Be quick to not trust everything that glitters is not gold. Everyone that speaks in tongues is not of God. So, Father, I just ask you to sharpen and increase her level of discernment for the future. Others will come, some will come. They're wolves, but you can't see their wolfiness, so help me from the sheep's clothing they're wearing. It will require. They'll look like a sheep. They'll sound like a sheep. It'll feel like a sheep. But they're not a sheep. And there'll be times no one will know that but you. And you'll want to tell husband or you'll want to tell intercessors. And the Lord will say, all you need to do is tell me. There'll be no walking in fear. There'll be no walking in intimidation. You needn't worry about anybody trying to steal this from you or to railroad you or detour you off of the work that God's called you to do, because God says, it's all my work and I know how to take care of it. But I am adding to those who are already present to keep your back. Whew. I bless every one of those who bless you. Those who cursed you, shall they themselves be cursed, because it'll have a boomerang effect. Woo, this is serious business. I hear the Lord saying, touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Anyone who touches this one will experience the touch of God. And I don't mean in a nice way. I'm not talking about disagreeing with her. You're never going to agree. You're never going to agree with everyone on everything. I get that. But there's a right way and a wrong way to even disagree. And I bless this fellowship with a spirit of love and unity. May you all stay knitted together. Shoulder to shoulder, shield to shield, seamless in Christ Jesus. Whew. Bless you, my